It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So that's the prophecy. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Look at these guys. Don't they look handsome? I think this is from a film, right? Just want you to know, these are not the original wise men, okay? We don't have any fun, but I like that. I like the what are they called? The smolder, the one on the right, you know? He's like deep, you know? So, who are these men, okay? These are real people now. What do we know about them? Well, let me see if I can help you out a little bit, okay? First of all, this term, the wise men, the actual Greek word is the word magos or magi. So in a few translations, they actually translated magi from the east, okay? Now, the names given by the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, the Medes, the Persians, and others to the wise men, teachers, priests, physicians, astrologers, seers, interpreters of dreams, augurs, soothsayers, sorcerers, etc. That's what this title is. All right? So if you are considered a scholarly one, one that heals people, or a spiritual person, or one who considers the stars and so forth, that's the title that they gave you. In fact, there were certain cities that were known for wise people. You might remember the book of Job, and Job had three friends. His friends were considered super wise from the wisest people of their day. So this whole idea of wise men implies this, okay? Now, the Jews believe that there were prophets in the kingdom of Saba and Arabia, who were of the prosperity of Abraham by Keturah. Now, just in case you didn't know, after Sarah died, Abraham had another wife, right? Her name was Keturah. So the Jews believe that these are the descendants of Keturah, and that they taught in the name of God what they had received in tradition from the mouth of Abraham. This is what they believe and why they think that these men were in that position. And then, that many Jews were mixed with this people, there is little doubt. And this is from a man by the name of Adam Clark. And that these Eastern magi or philosophers, astrologers, or whatever else there were might have been originally of that class, there is room to believe. These, knowing the promise of the Messiah, were now probably, like other believing Jews, waiting for the consolation of Israel. So what we're saying here, what they're trying to tell us, is that there were people in other nations who were also looking for the promised one. Okay? And they figure that these are who these people are, or else why would they be coming? Why would they be searching for this guy? Okay, let's go a little bit further. Now, here's some facts about them that we know for sure. They are only mentioned in Matthew, and the book of Matthew was written to prove that Christ is a king. All right? So that's why they're mentioned, because they're allegedly kings, okay? They're from the east. Also, we're not told how many there are. You know, we get this idea and tradition that there are three, but we're not actually told how many there are. It could have been a whole bunch of them. Although, many people believe that there were three because three gifts were given to Jesus. So I'm telling you how the traditions have come forth. But we're not really sure. It could have been a whole bunch more of them, okay? Also, it doesn't say that they were kings, but it's assumed that they were based on biblical prophecy. Let me show you a couple of the prophecies. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, it says, "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." How about this one? "Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you." These are all prophecy. That one's in Psalm 68, verse 29. How about this one? "The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts." This is one of the reasons why people believe that these men were from Seba. In fact, you might remember a lady who was the queen of Sheba. Remember her? And she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So they think that this might be some of the same descendants, okay? Now, I just wanted to let you know there were real people. These people existed. They were studying the stars and saw a miracle. Now, I just want to give you another footnote. There is a difference between astrology and astronomy. Astronomy is studying the stars, studying what's out there, having a look through a telescope. We know that the stars are fixed, don't we? Right? We know that the North Star is always in the same place, but all the stars have a certain movement. And you can see things like the Crab Nebula and the Ring Nebula and the Horsehead Nebula, and you can see galaxies. In fact, they now know that there are more stars in the sky than there are all the sand in all the seashores on the entire planet. That's a lot, huh? A lot to study, isn't it? By the way, that shows you how big God is, in case you didn't know. He's huge, okay? So, these men, as far as we know, were observing, and they were studying the stars, and they were looking, okay? Also, we know that they were seeking the king of the Jews, because that's what they actually asked, didn't they? They're looking for something. So there was something going on, something prophetic that they were picking up, and they figured this is the time, okay? Also, they came to worship him. That was their whole goal. They recognized that this person who was being born was so spectacular that they came from the east in order to worship him. Isn't that interesting? By the way, I thought about just talking about the whole of the birth of Christ, because it's, to me, it's still amazing that Jesus came in this manger, in this quiet place, and nobody almost knew. But the angels knew, and they broke out of heaven, and somebody had to say something, right? And then these men came all the way from who knows where. And by the way, Herod and everybody else around him was worried, weren't they? And so Herod decided, let's see if we can figure out something to get him, okay? Now, what did these men do? Because I think this is a really important thing. This is after Jesus was born. First of all, they followed the sign which directed them to the child. Now, what was this sign? This star, this thing that was in the air. Because we know that all the stars in the that we see in the sky are fixed, right? But this one wasn't. This one was moving. So, first of all, Most scholars believe that it was some kind of meteorite or some kind of illumination from heaven. And this is not the only time that this ever happened in history. Just no one wants to tell you about it. I'll give you a little hint of that. Before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, remember Jesus said there'd be signs in the heaven and signs on the earth? There were numerous earthquakes that took place, but there were also signs of stars or things in the heavens before that time. And of course, people didn't believe it and they didn't think it was going to happen. Just like now, we're getting signs on the earth. Just in case you didn't notice, you know, and we call them now global warming, don't we? Right? And we look and we say, oh, the earth is getting heated up and it's all because our cars and it's all because. I have a theory, okay? I just happen to believe that the earth is trying to speak to us. I just happen to believe that God is trying to let us know that the end is near, personally. Now, whether we cause part of it or not, because we're the only creatures on the planet that can make the earth better or worse. And that is a fact, right? So I'm not saying don't forget about trash and forget about things like that, but I am saying that God is in control of the elements. He's always been. And he's able to do anything. And this is not the first time that there's been something in heaven that has gone crazy. And it won't be the last, okay? So they followed the sign. And think about it now. They must have been looking for something. And then they must have had a sense that this was going to lead them. So it was prophetic. It was prophetic. It was something that God was speaking into their spirit, okay? And then the Bible says that when they got there, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, can you imagine? You're following this sign and you're hoping, have I got it right? Is it right? Is this a wasted trip? I mean, we're going a long way, right? Am I doing this for nothing? And then suddenly you find what you're looking for. They're excited. They're excited. They didn't get there and go, praise the Lord. They went, yes! They were very excited, okay? This is what it says. Then the Bible says they worshiped him. This is a baby in a manger. They worshiped him. That ought to tell you something about what they were sensing, about what God was speaking to them, and then when they saw him, they knew. By the way, they weren't the only one. There were some shepherds that knew too. There was a lady named Anna who also knew. There was a guy named Simeon who also knew, and they had the sense. I find it amazing that the spiritual things that are happening in this world, the world doesn't perceive them, never gets them. Things are going on all the time, but all we hear about is Brexit. Do you get what I mean? All we hear about are negative things. I'm amazed even when I watched parliamentary procedure, how everybody seems angry all the time. And they're always yelling at each other. And they're always trying to tell you why you're wrong no matter what happens. And yet, God continues to work and God continues to speak and no one's paying attention. Ah, but the spiritual do. And let's be honest. There's something in all of us that says, you know, something's going on. Something's happening. Something's taking place. And it amazes me that at this particular time of year, everyone knows that there's something different in the air. Everyone knows. And they go, oh, Christmas. They try to write it, oh, Christmas is for kids. You know? It's too materialistic. In fact, I think it's amazing how we're in this position where the world cannot take Christmas away because it's making too much money for them. You know what I mean? Because if they, you know, in America, they want to erase everything. No prayer. You can't say Jesus. You can't. And here, if you're at your workplace and you're wearing a cross, they get mad at you nowadays. If you're in your situation and you talk to somebody, but you could get in trouble. But they're not going to get rid of Christmas, are they? Because Christmas is too much money, isn't it? So what do? They do everything they can to take it away. right? So you can say Xmas, you can short that up. You can talk about all the substitutes like Father Christmas. In fact, Father Christmas used to be Santa Claus, but that's not good enough because Santa Claus is from Saint, right? And Saint Nicholas. And then there's this tradition about this guy named Nicholas who went about doing great things and giving gifts to people. And that's what, so they don't want that either. So let's get rid of him. Let's call him Father Christmas. You see what I mean? Let's get rid of it as much as we can. And the further you get away from Jesus, the worse Christmas becomes. But the closer, who was that said that? Was that Jaden? Thank you, Jaden. Right? When he finished, I thought he preached a sermon. We can go now. They said, can you tell us the meaning of Christmas? Yes, Jesus. True. Very, very true. They worship him. Also, they presented gifts to him. Now, what gifts do they present? First of all, gold. Everybody knows that gold is very, very valuable, don't we? So we don't have to explain that one. You want to give me some gold? I will gladly receive it. Right? Why did they give Jesus gold? Because he needed some cash, because he was going to travel. Right? They were going to travel. How do you think you get around? Right? All, some of you go by Uber, right? You don't go for free, do you? Well, Jesus went by donkey. He didn't go for free either. Right? So he needed some cash, so they gave him gold. But also, they gave him something called frankincense. Right? Frankincense is used in worship. It's burned as a pleasant offering to God. And it's a very valuable spice. And it has an amazing smell. So when frankincense is burned, it represents our prayers going up to God. And that's why the priests used to do that. They would burn frankincense and the smell would rise up. And the Bible talks about that referring to the prayers of the saints. It talks about vials in the book of Revelation. And the vials are with the prayers of the saints. And when all the vials are full and the prayers go up to God, God starts moving. So this thing that they gave him was not just valuable, but it was something that was used in worship. And then they gave them something called myrrh. Myrrh is a very bitter perfume. It's used in embalming the dead. What kind of present is that? Huh? By the way, this is for your funeral. Because this child was born to die. You see? So all three of these things are very valuable things, right? But why give the kid myrrh? Why not give him an action figure? You know what I mean? Why not give him something like that? You know? Because each one of these were very, very important. And I thought it would be interesting, right? Because the people of the East never approached the presence of kings and great personages without a present in their hands. Right? You always brought a present. Do you remember a man named Saul before he became king? And he went to hear from the prophet. He said, well, we can't just go empty-handed. They had to bring him a present, didn't they? That's how the prophets lived. Right? And by the way, I hear people talk all the time. They say, why do we give in church? They always say, why do they give your money in church? Man, all they want to do is take your money. Let me tell you something. Right? We have to live, don't we? Right? And don't you get paid? How would you like to work for 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, and at the end of it, your employer gave you an offering? It depends on which employer is it. Somebody goes, I don't think so. I want to get paid. You get what I mean? So when you went to the man of God, you brought him a present because that's how he lived. So these men, kings in themselves, wise men, men who probably had servants with them, they weren't about to come to the King of Kings and not bring him a present, were they? And by the way, we can't actually give Jesus a physical present, but I used to say to my kids, you know, Jesus died for me and he gave some to me. So in return, this is why I'm giving something to you. Because I pointed everything. By the way, there's a whole bunch of traditions we have in Christmas that aren't in the Bible. Like, for example, Christmas tree. You know, I was reading throughout, and I never found that anywhere, right? Christmas lights. I never found any of those things. You know what? I always tell, and in case you didn't know, Jesus more than likely was not born on December 25th. Just to let you know that, okay? He was more than likely born somewhere in October. to be honest. But at about 300 AD, this guy named Constantine, who was the emperor, became a Christian. The entire Roman world was pagan. And so he said, we're going to stop worshiping Saturnalia on the 22nd or 23rd of December, and we're going to worship Jesus instead on the 25th. And that's how it started. So if a Jehovah's Witness comes to you and says, you know, he wasn't born on that day, say yes, you're right. But let me tell you something. The devil can take something good and turn into bad all the time, doesn't he? He takes our gospel music and changes it, doesn't he? You know, that's our music. When I hear people doing soul music, I'm like, wait a minute, we were doing that in church. You get me? Now, if the devil can take good stuff and turn to bad stuff, why can't we take bad stuff and turn it to good stuff? Right? So someone says to me, I'm not worshiping, I'm not doing Christmas. Well, that's cool with you, but I'm taking a bad thing and turning it to a good thing. Right? Our Christmas tree is pink. And you know what? Every time I see those lights, I think, Jesus Christ, light of the world. Yeah? You get me? You know, that's what I'm doing. It doesn't mean that to me. I don't know where they started, but I know where I'm finishing. You get me? And that's why I do it. So I don't have a problem with that. And by the way, if you do, that's cool. I'm not against you. But come to my house, there's a tree in there. I'm just telling you, right? Let you know, okay? Oh, and there's some presents on the tree, and I just might get one. I don't know. You know, and that's not the reason why Christmas is wonderful for me. You know, because Christmas is wonderful because I get to be with my family. I get to be with you. I am happy right now because I'm here with you, right? And to see you eating that food, right? Ackee and saltfish, what was that? I never heard of that when I came over here. What was ackee and saltfish? Man, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Bread of heaven. Look at all that stuff. Boy, you know, tell me that's not a good thing. Look over next to your neighbor and say, God bless you. Yes. Yes. Ask him, is your belly full? Yes. Right. So, what else did they do? They returned a different way. They did not obey the request of Herod because these men were sensitive. They were spiritual people. They had the sense that this man wasn't really talking. So Herod goes, yeah, let me know where he is. I want to worship him too. And they looked and went, mm-mm. No. The Bible says that they were warned by God in a dream not to go back that way. Someone asked me just the other day about dreams. Can I tell you something? God speaks through dreams. Did you know that? Let me just throw something at you real quick. As far as I know, there are four types of dreams. Okay? The first dream is what I call pizza dreams. You're dreaming because you ate too much pizza. Okay? The second dream, the type of dreams, are what I call troubled mind dreams. In other words, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, a dream comes through much for a dream comes through much activity. In other words, you're thinking about something a lot, or you're troubled by something or whatever, and so you dream about it. The third type of dream comes from the devil himself, right? Where he can actually bring thoughts into your mind and things like that. And it doesn't mean you're possessed. It doesn't mean you're controlled. But a lot of thoughts come to you that you never heard of, haven't you? Haven't you ever been walking one time and somebody says something rude and you go, what? And you feel like slapping them. Right? Where'd that come from? From within. But, you know, the devil has something. He's the one that said, slap him then. You get me? You know, it's still you, and you're the one that have to decide whether you're going to slap him or not. Right? But that's what he is. He's the accuser. And so some dreams, I believe, are demonic, right? But the fourth type of dream is all over the Bible, where God speaks to people. He spoke to Joseph. He spoke to the other Joseph. He spoke to the wise men. He spoke to Moses. In fact, when Miriam in the Bible was acting up and doing what she did, God called Miriam and her brother out, Aaron. And he made an interesting statement. He says, when I want to talk to a prophet, I speak through a dream or vision or some other kind of revelation. He said, but not so with my servant Moses. When I speak to him, I speak face to face with him. So what he was actually doing is he was telling us how he speaks. He was telling us he speaks through visions. He thinks through dreams. Now, our world is telling you right now, don't believe in that stuff. right? There's none of that stuff. It's all in your mind. Take a couple of these drugs and call me in the morning and you'll be fine. I hear people all the time, listen to me now. People say, I'm having trouble because I'm hearing voices. I'm going to tell you something. All of you hear voices all the time. You just don't identify them. You all do. You hear good voices. You hear bad ones, don't you? And by the way, how many of you have ever heard from God? You felt like you heard from God. Raise your hand if you had. All right, now put your hand around. Now let me ask you a question. Was it a high voice or a low voice? High voice?
Oh, Desmond, this is the Lord Jesus. I'm speaking to you right now. And I believe you should marry that woman. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Is that high voice?
Hallelujah.
It's never, is it? Was it male or was it female? It's neither, is it? Right? Why am I saying this? Because the voices that we hear, they're not physical. But you heard them, didn't you? You knew. Sometimes it's so clear, you think that somebody's talking. Have you ever heard, and you looked like that? Have you ever had that happen to you? God speaks. Well, the devil can talk too. And others can too. Right? So they heard from God. They got a vision. They got a dream from God. So they did not obey the request of Herod. And sometimes, when you're walking with God, you just have to say no to what the world is saying. Yeah? It also says that they responded to the heavenly dream given to them. You have to, when God speaks, you have to respond. And you need to know when God is speaking. Sometimes people say God is speaking and God ain't saying nothing. You know, it's just them or pizza. You get me? Sometimes people go, oh, the Lord spoke to me. How do you know? Oh, I wish I had time. We could talk about that another. But how do you know when it's God or not? Well, there's some confirmation. There's inner impressions. There's outward circumstances. There's a multitude of counselors. You know what? If you believe God is saying something and all your leaders and all your elders and all your people are saying, I don't think so, you need to think again. Right? Now, I'm not ever saying that that can't happen, but I am saying that if the people that God has called to lead you and to help you are saying no, you need to be careful. There are a lot of people who've gotten married on a whim, and then they want to blame somebody else for what they decided to do. Am I making sense? Yeah? So, what can we learn from this? I think it's really simple, all right? Wise men came from far to worship him and presented their best gifts and offerings. Isn't that something? That's simple, isn't it? Wise men sought Jesus. So, if wise men sought Jesus, then let's seek him too, yeah? That's pretty simple, isn't it? There you go. So, we should do the same. So, if wise men sought Jesus, then why shouldn't we? Hallelujah. I just spoke on 3 weeks. I talked about Mary. I talked about Joseph. And now I talked about the wise men. And the reason why we've done that, because I want your Christmas to be special. Right? And I believe it is. We've just seen a beautiful play, some great music. We've been able to worship God, and that's what makes it real. That's what makes it special, right? So now you're going to go home, and you're going to go to your relatives. And let's be honest, some of you have in-laws, and some of you have outlaws too, right? Yeah? You know? And there's always that brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so that tries to mess everything up sometimes, isn't there? Sometimes? You know? Or is it just my family? You know what I mean? And there's always some kind of, you know what I'm saying, don't you? You know? There's that kind of stuff. Don't let any of this stuff mess with you, right? And by the way, if you don't get the present that you wanted to get, right, so what? Because if that's all Christmas ever was, you're in trouble. All right? You're in trouble. So let's let it be special. Let's remember him. When we get together, and you know what's going to happen, they're going to go, you know, you're the kind of spiritual one, so do the prayer, would you? You know? Then give Jesus praise. Give God the glory. You know what I mean? And if they don't, because a lot of people, they don't even pray. They just throw the turkey, or they say something like this. Good bread, good meat, good God, let's eat. Yeah? Right? Just hold up and say, hold up. Hold up. I just want to say that Jesus is the reason for the season. Don't forget that. Right? And it'll change the atmosphere. I'm telling you, it'll change the atmosphere. But you don't feel like you have to preach, you know? Don't get up. We're going to pray now. Lord, I just thank you because in the beginning you created the heavens and the earth. And then you brought a flood. But after that, Abraham was the man. And through Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob, then the 12 patriarchs. And then we get to the end. Don't do that. Right? Because you will ruin your family. Right? They will go, we ain't never praying again. Right? Don't do that. Okay? But say, but this is the chance. This is the one chance where your families get together and maybe they'll just hold hands. Maybe it says, come on, let's we can do that, can't we? And they'll go, yeah, it's Christmas, you know what I mean? It's Christmas. You know what I mean? That's what they'll do, won't they? So do it. Get their hands again. Get them, and don't let the little kids go either. Right? Grab them. You know? Grab them. And by the way, if little Johnny's crying, that's all right. You know what I mean? But get them together. And then just give God a moment. Let the star come in. Right? Be the wise man. Amen? Lord, thank you for this time. I just love it. I'm just so excited to again, and every year. And Lord, I gotta say too, Father, that this is not always easy for some. Lord, when some who've lost loved ones, some who are ill, some who are homeless, some who are finding it difficult. Lord, I pray that somehow your grace would be sufficient. I pray, Lord, that somehow through the pain, through the struggles, they'll remember the baby. And Lord, we know that you came to die. You came to be struggles. You came to face stuff. So Lord, we as Christians know that even when we face things, we've never faced what you faced. Thank you. Thank you for doing that for us. Thank you for making this time special all around the world. So we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.